Full Account by John Kirkmorris, with Geoffrey Wickham as Ian Aird and John Hollis as Inspector Betts.
Whittaker, please. No, Junior. My name's Aird. I'm calling from Ebbingham. I'm sorry, I must speak to him personally. Yes, I'll hold.
Ian? What's going on?
I'll tell you in a minute.
Who are those people in the drive? And where's Max?
Mr. Whittaker, this is Ian Aird from Glebe House. Yes, that's right. Look, could you call here this afternoon? I can't discuss the reasons over the phone. My cousin's had an accident.
What?
The police think you may be able to help. That's very kind. I'll see you then. Goodbye.
What happened?
Max shot himself.
Oh, no.
I found him.
Where?
The plantation.
An accident?
I couldn't say. I doubt it.
But why?
God knows.
I saw him less than 2 hours ago. He seemed perfectly all right. Gave me his usual nasty grin. I can't believe it.
You'll have to. It happened.
What'll become of us?
That's not very important at the moment.
Well, it is to me.
I have to go, Audrey.
Oh, the man and the hour.
I win my bet.
What?
I guess you'd react like this.
Oh, did you just? Well, here's something else to ponder. We're in trouble.
Scream at it long enough and it might go away.
Okay.
Have the police arrived?
Yes. I've just called Whittaker. Can you make tea or something? They're here in force. Peg?
Sorry. I'm a bit stunned, Ian.
Look, I have to get back.
I saw him after breakfast, and he actually made a joke about his eggs. Oh, Ian.
Bear up. I'll see you as soon as I can.
Tate?
Give up.
Over here. We'll have a screen round here. I want one uniformed man on watch.
Has the surgeon seen this?
Well, he made a lightning appearance. What can you possibly say about multiple gunshot wounds?
Both barrels?
Yes. Oh, I'm beginning to feel unwell. Let's get some air.
Where's the gun, Skip?
Well, he's lying on it. Do you notice the way his knees were drawn up? A lot of them do that.
How many of these have you seen?
Enough.
When do we move him?
After we've got the photographs. I'd like you to call Mr. Stannard on your radio.
Right.
Tell him what you've seen, what our requirements are. I want a word with the chap who found him. When you've done that, come back here, do your guard dog act. Keep everybody out of that wood. Ah, here's my man now. Quick as you can, Tate.
Right, Skip.
Morning. The gentleman I spoke to before.
Will you speak to the inspector, sir?
Thank you.
Mr. Aird, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah, I'm Betts. I'm a detective inspector.
How do you do? I think you have some questions for me.
Indeed I do. Look, can we get somewhere out of this wind?
My office is over there.
Good. Is there a telephone?
Yeah.
Would you mind if I dug myself in there for a while?
I'd prefer you to use the office in the house.
Who uses that?
Nobody now. It was his. This way, please. Where would you like to sit?
Oh, this'll do.
We may be interrupted.
No, Mr. Aird.
This is a working day for me.
If anybody calls, put them off. My questions come first.
That's plain enough.
And it avoids misunderstandings. This is going to be a long, weary day for all of us. And we might as well start. The dead man's name, please.
Loudon. James Maxwell Loudon.
L-O-W?
L-O-U-D-O-N.
Uh-huh. Do you know his age?
43. Four, I'm not quite sure.
Married?
Yes, but separated.
Where's his wife now?
London.
How long have they been separated?
2 years or thereabouts.
She'll have to be informed.
I've tried. She's not at home. Or she doesn't answer.
They have any children?
One, a girl of 12. Elizabeth.
And where's she?
With her mother.
Oh, I see. What was Mr. Loudon's occupation?
Landowner. He used to be in business, then he sold out and bought this property.
And what's your position here, Mr. Aird?
It's not easy to define. Estate manager, I suppose, would fit. I worked under my cousin's direction.
Mr. Loudon was your cousin?
Oh, sorry, didn't I say so? Yes. Max and I were first cousins.
Max? Is that what you called him?
Yes.
Maxwell Loudon. Well, wasn't he involved in that row over sugar beet subsidies?
Yes, he was.
Did you have any part in that business?
Not directly.
Who was present on the property this morning, Mr. Aird?
The ones I know about. Myself and my wife. And Mrs. Palmer, the housekeeper. I expect she was there. That's about it.
No farm star.
They're at Draxton on our farm there. Oh, Dance is here.
Who?
Dance is one of the hands. He's ploughing the field next to the plantation. Or he should be.
I didn't hear a tractor when I was out there.
It's after 12. He'll be having his lunch.
Could you tell me when you last saw your cousin alive?
This morning, about 9 o'clock.
Now, where was that?
Here. This room. Max called in to give me some instructions.
Did he have the shotgun with him?
No, I think he left it outside.
Can you remember anything of what was said?
Well, he left me a list of things he wanted done around the property. And then we discussed the strains of winter wheat that he wanted to experiment with. But just a farm business. He was here for 10 minutes or less.
How did he appear to you?
Absolutely as usual.
When, no depression, no anxiety?
None that I could see.
Why should he kill himself?
I'm not qualified to answer that.
Give a personal opinion.
No.
Why not, Mr. Aird?
You are asking me to look into the mind of another individual. I'm not a psychologist.
Suggest a reason to me.
Money?
Did he have any?
Not as far as I know.
Then why did you say it?
Because you asked me to.
I assure you, Mr. Aird, my questions are very serious.
As are my answers, Mr. Betts. Excuse me. Yes? Oh, hold on. It's for you.
Yeah. Thank you. Yep. No, yes, Tate. Well, show him the way, will you? No. No, no. Where are you now? Well, all right, then. When you've done that, double back and have a word with Mrs. Palmer, the housekeeper, that's it. You can call me here. I'm having a man placed at the gate and another one stationed by the wood. Oh, they won't interfere with your work here, will they?
What if the press calls?
You can refer them to me. Could we get back to the events of this morning, please? I'd like you to explain the circumstances in which you found Mr. Loudon's body. Take your time.
After Max left, I worked here alone till about 10:30. Fullman's delivered a chemical fertilizer around that time. I counted off the load and signed for it. And then Max's bank in Norwich called up. The manager wanted to speak to him as soon as possible. My desk was clear by that time.
What time, Mr. Aird?
5 to 11. So I went looking for Max. His phone in the house office didn't reply. First I went to the house, to the kitchen, the housekeeper...
Mrs. Palmer.
Yes, yes. Yeah. She told me Max hadn't returned yet. I thought he couldn't be far away, and I went off in the direction he took when he left here. Max was after an old dog fox. He had the idea its earth was somewhere in the plantation, so it was the obvious place to look for him. I went through the trees, calling out his name a couple of times. That sounds foolish, doesn't it?
I'm still listening.
I'd about given up, and I took a route back to the path. I was passing that clearing when I had a glimpse of him lying there.
How did you react?
With amusement.
Why?
I thought he was crouching down to investigate a hole at the foot of a tree. In fact, I was going to make it the occasion of a joke. Then I could see everything was wrong.
Didn't you notice the blood?
Not then.
There was a hell of a lot of it, Mr. Ayres.
From the position where I was standing... No, I saw no blood until I actually entered the clearing.
And what did you do then?
I bent over him. I saw... I rushed here as fast as possible and phoned for you. For the police.
Why didn't you ring the ambulance service?
Ambulances are for the living.
Did you like Mr. Loudon? Well, did you?
He was my kinsman.
That doesn't answer the question.
One chooses friends. Relations come in a job lot.
He wasn't a bargain.
If you go at the pace he went, anything or anybody in his path was likely to be brushed aside. Look, I don't want to make too much of this. Max was averagely good and bad, but his compulsions gave him that extra twist of bloody-mindedness. I wouldn't have chosen him for a friend, but he didn't treat me badly. Far from it. Will that do?
Oh, yes. Can you put all you've told me in writing?
A statement?
Yes, please. I can give you assistance if you want it.
Yes, thank you.
You won't make a statement?
Sorry, I meant I'll make it without help.
Ah. As soon as you like, Mr. Ayres. Now, I'd like to speak to your wife.
She knows nothing.
Then I won't detain her long. Well?
There is something I must explain to you.
Yeah?
My wife's state of mind. She confuses easily. She has a highly coloured view of things. You mustn't take everything she says as literal truth.
Unlike yourself, sir.
Will you see her here or in our flat?
That's it, Constable. Hasn't been used since yesterday.
More telephones.
Oh, there's extensions everywhere.
Had a lot of calls, did he, Mrs. Palmer?
He'd rather pick up a phone than walk anywhere.
Hmm. All right, thank you. I've seen enough. You won't let anyone go in there, will you? Oh, what's through here?
His bedroom.
May I look? Not gaudy, is it?
Well, before he was separated, they used the master bedroom and suite.
Did he have a current lady friend? Well, did he?
Mr. Loudon omitted to tell me.
Well, don't you know?
No, Constable.
Actually, I'm a sergeant. Loudon was a relatively young man. His wife was gone for 2 years. It's natural he should have affairs in his place. I know I would have.
In his place, you'd be dead. Shall we go?
Not yet. You sleep in the house, don't you?
Yes.
I don't know how to phrase this.
Was I sleeping with Mr. Loudon? The answer's no.
Why not?
He never asked me.
And if
he asked? Do all policemen have dirty minds?
Only the good ones. Did you like him?
He wasn't a bad employer.
You're sorry he's dead?
Oh, for heaven's sake! Of course I'm sorry. A terrible thing like... Are you made of stone?
My husband can tell you. I know nothing about this matter.
Did you hear a shot?
Yep.
Did you see Mr. Loudon at all this morning?
This morning? Nope.
Aren't you feeling well, Mrs. Eyre?
I thought Max was the subject of discussion.
Do you resent my questions?
I resent all questions, particularly those to which I have no reply.
But you have opinions, don't you?
Excuse me. Would you pick that up for me?
Hmm? Oh. Yeah. There.
Thank you. Would you like more coffee?
No, oh, no, thank you.
I can make it fresh.
No, not for me, thank you.
You were about to ask me something.
Yes, what were your husband's relations with his cousin?
Excellent.
Ah, as good as that.
They have a great mutual regard.
I'm delighted to hear it, Mrs. Eyre.
Of course, the relationship wasn't always easy. No. Ian was, in a sense, Max's employee. Since Ian was the older man and came from a family somewhat higher placed than his, my husband was a regular officer, you know.
No, I didn't know, Mrs. Eyre.
Oh, he was given his majority when he was 32, which is exceptionally young.
Mm.
By this time, with his abilities and background, he could have been a full colonel or better. But poor Ian suffered a setback.
And what was that?
He married me. But you aren't here to trawl in our dirty pond, are you?
I am interested in anything you have to tell me.
And you have unusual gifts of sympathy.
Well, it's good of you to say so, Mrs. Eyre.
My health hasn't been of the best. Middle age is a sort of wretched hiatus between two kinds of certainty.
Mm.
I'd expected to grow old. This intermediate stage makes one restless. Max has been kind to us, yet, almost inevitably, tensions rose. Ian was choking on disappointment at having to doff his cap to a rich relation who nonetheless turned out to be a money-grubbing boor. I won't pretend. I loathed him. Raw ambition combined with Scottish caution makes such an unattractive mixture. The Graves' gain is no loss to the world at large. He's much better off where he is.
Well, thank you, Mrs. Eyre. I can find my own way out.
He did kill himself, didn't he?
Well, everything points that way. So far?
No, he had every reason to do it. I should say the best of reasons.
And what was that?
Dryness, aridity of heart and spirit.
The law doesn't recognize such a reason, Mrs. Eyre.
Oh, the law. What does the law know?
Did you learn anything?
Your wife is a very disturbed woman.
And no help to you, I suppose.
Does that abuse you, Mr. Eyre?
You said you wanted to speak to Don.
Now, that can wait. Something in your attitude that baffles me.
Have I been uncooperative?
No, not so far.
Then my manners are just one of those small annoyances you have to endure.
What's wrong with you people here?
It's called shock, Inspector. Simple shock. We all depended on a man who less than 2 hours ago put a gun to his head. We've lost jobs and homes and years of effort. There's a crisis in our affairs. That is what's wrong with us people.
There's no call for anger. I'm simply trying to get at the truth. That's not unreasonable, is it?
No, it's just untimely.
Oh, I humbly beg pardon for the intrusion.
I'll see if I can find Dunn.
Can you bring him to your office?
Give me 10 minutes.
Mr. Eyre.
Yes? Yes?
Ever since I got here, I've been waiting. Even expecting something. It hasn't appeared yet.
What is that?
A word of regret for what's happened.
Oh, is that all?
Yes. The want of it sets me to thinking.
This is the worst day of my life. Will that do?
Very tasty. Thanks very much. Where's yours?
I don't eat lunch.
Whose meal was that, then?
His. Do you want coffee?
No, I'd better not. My governor might wonder where I've got to. You widowed, Mrs. Palmer?
No.
Where's Mr. P, then?
That's the question that wins the coconut. He's a saltwater man.
Ah, got other wives, has he?
He's the normal ocean-going fornicator.
Don't you like men?
No. I know how they get born.
Oh, do you have a match?
Why, do you want to smoke?
No, I like to pick my teeth. What's with the ads?
Ask them.
They wouldn't tell me.
Well, you don't want kitchen tittle-tattle, surely?
Well, if you're talking it, yes.
Oh, Sergeant, you make our blood.
Well, don't muck about. Come on, tell me.
No, they're my friends.
Aren't I?
Oh.
Yeah, I think you're a good sort.
A good sort of what?
Just a good sort.
You're married, aren't you?
Right.
With children, too, I expect.
Oh, three.
Then get your big hobnailed feet from under my table.
Eh?
You're trying to make up to me.
No, I'm not.
You sit there, filled with a dead man's dinner and your own conceit, and toy with the idea of cutting yourself a slice off the cook housekeeper. I've half a mind to report this to your inspector.
Now, there's no need for that, is there?
Cheerio, Sergeant. On you, Mary.
I hope you're kidding.
Am I?
You might need protection at a time like this. I'm on nights next week. I could call round.
No, thank you.
Well, don't you get a bit nervous on your own?
Not as nervous as you're obvious.
Oh, well, it was worth a try.
No, really, it wasn't.
Thank you for the lunch.
That's all right.
Ah, that could be for me.
Evingham 237. This is Mrs. Palm. Oh, it's you. Where? Yes, I'll tell him. In 20 minutes, then.
What is it?
Well, Mrs. Loudon. She's at Drexton.
So?
She hasn't been told. And she wants somebody to pick her up.
Oh, I'll arrange it with my skipper.
But I don't understand. If she doesn't know he's dead, why should she be here?
What?
I want you in the office.
What for?
Never mind. There's somebody wants to speak to you.
Oh, my mum, is that?
No. I'll get on the tow bar. And don't bump about.
Hold tight.
Steady!
What is it, Tate?
Mrs. Loudon's here.
At the house?
Oh, no, Draxton Railway Station. She wants to be picked up. Nobody's told her about her old man.
Oh. Could you break it to her?
Well, I
want to speak to this fellow Dance. You've got the tact for it, haven't you, Tate?
Right, sir.
Did you learn anything from the housekeeper?
No, Loudon didn't seem depressed. She says no girlfriends, no vices. Boring, isn't it?
Yeah. What's she like?
Oh, very nice.
Hospitable, too, by the looks of it.
Sorry, Skip?
You've got gravy on your chin.
Oh.
Take Mrs. Loudon to the house. I'll interview her in half an hour.
Aye, right.
And send Dance in, will you?
Your name, Dance?
That's right.
The inspector's ready for you.
What inspector?
It's all right, Dance. You've done nothing wrong.
Mr. Dance?
Yeah?
In here, please.
Oh, Mr. Ed.
Yes?
Mrs. Loudon's arrived.
Mrs. Loudon?
Yes, she's at Draxton Railway Station. Somebody has to break the news. Would you care to come along? Mr. Ed?
Yes. I'll come with you.
That's right. Now, what's your first name?
Bell. Billy.
Oh, I'll call you Billy. You don't mind, do you?
No.
I'm Detective Inspector Betts, Anglia CID.
Oh, yeah?
Has Mr. Ed spoken to you yet?
About what?
Then he hasn't. Your employer, Mr. Loudon.
Yeah?
He died at around 11 o'clock this morning.
Get away.
He died of gunshot wounds, Billy. In that fir plantation just alongside where you were working. What is it?
I feel ill.
God. Here. Now you drink this. Yeah. Better?
Yeah.
Now, I have to ask you about this morning, Billy. You think you're up to it?
I don't know nothing.
Now, you can't say that. Not until you know some of the facts. Mr. Loudon shot himself with his own gun.
Killed himself?
Yeah, looks like it. Now, can you remember where you were at 11 o'clock?
In the cab.
On your tractor?
Right.
Did you hear a shot around that time?
No.
It would have been fairly close, Billy.
Yeah, but I can't hear nothing when I'm in the cab. I got baffles.
Baffles?
Things you put over your ears to keep out the noise.
Oh.
Sandra?
Oh, Ian, hello. I was expecting that.
Could we sit down?
Whatever for? Something wrong?
Yes. You'd better brace yourself.
Max?
Yes. He died this morning.
What are you telling me? Oh no.
Steady. Sergeant, over here.
When did you last see Mr. Loudon, Billy?
I don't know. A week ago, I reckon. He don't bother me.
You take your orders from Mr. Ed?
Yeah. Airy fairy.
Why do you call him that?
Well, it's true. But he ain't no farmer, is he? Goes about giving his orders like he was still in the bloody army. He don't do nothing, do he? Only does what Mr. Loudon tells him.
Did Mr. Loudon and Mr. Ed get on well together?
Sure. They're governors, aren't they? Always stick together, governors.
Yeah.
Excuse me, sir. Mrs. Loudon's at the house. Ed's with her.
How did she take it?
Hard.
All right, I'll get to it. In the meantime, you better take this lad home.
What for?
Well, you won't want to go back to work after what you've been through.
No, I'm all right. Anyway, I've got to finish that field.
Oh, suit yourself. Word with your tape. Dance nearly keeled over when I broke the news.
What fright?
Well, that's just shock, I think. But he's too much on the defensive. And he's not as thick as he likes to make out. Pump him, Tate. See if he's holding anything back. His first name's Billy, by the way.
Right, sir.
And no heavy stuff, Tate.
Oh, me, sir? Heavy, sir?
Yes, sir. You, sir. Well, I'll be in the barn if you want me.
Well, Billy, how are you feeling now?
A brandy might help.
Why, Ian? Why? It just doesn't make sense. When did I speak to him on the phone? 8 o'clock last night. 8 o'clock? He couldn't have made up his mind overnight. What reason did he have?
The police are working on it.
Do you know why?
It could have been an accident. Here. Go on, take it.
I shall have to tell Elizabeth. Oh, I can't guess what this is going to do to her. Oh, Ian, you'll have to help me.
Of course I shall. Now drink.
Oh.
Come in. Oh, Sandra, this is Inspector Betts.
Oh, how do you do?
Mrs. Loudon. I'm sorry we have to meet under such terrible circumstances. Do you think you feel well enough to answer a few questions? I promise you we can stop just as soon as you wish.
No, I've no objections.
Can I be alone, Mr. Ed?
Is that all right, Sandra?
Oh, you won't go far, will you?
Only as far as the kitchen.
Thanks.
Now then. Mrs. Loudon, Why did you come down here today?
I was asked to come.
By your husband?
Yes.
When was that?
At about 8 o'clock last night. Max phoned me at home.
How long have you been estranged?
About a few weeks short of 2 years.
But you responded straight away.
Well, I had to. This is my only free day in the week.
Ah, I see. What do you do, Mrs. Lowndes?
I run a dress shop.
Ah. What reason did Mr. Loudon give for asking you down here?
He said it concerned a settlement he wanted to make on our daughter. I had to sign some papers for him.
Do you sound depressed, do you?
No, not a bit. Far from it. For him, he was almost sentimental.
I see. Do you think he ever hoped you might be reconciled?
Yes. Yes, I think it was in his mind.
Was it ever in yours?
I don't think I could ever have lived with him again.
How would you describe him?
Moody. Finicky. Jealous as hell.
Did you give him cause for jealousy?
No, but he thought so. You wouldn't believe how we came to break up.
Well, I might.
I danced twice with an old friend at a party. Max threatened he'd walk out without me if I did it a third time. So I had to, didn't I? But when I got home, half an hour later, he'd packed a suitcase for me and ordered me out of the house. Except for one visit to his lawyers. I hadn't seen him since. Oh, he liked to dominate. But underneath, he hadn't the confidence of a mouse. Yeah. It would almost be like him to have fixed this up.
Ask you down here, you mean just to view his corpse?
Yeah, he was capable of it.
There's no suicide note.
Oh, Max's revenge would be too subtle for mere words. He liked to dramatize. Max was always his own favorite hero.
Well, we'll be able to test your theory, in part, anyway. Mr. Loudon's lawyer's due here at 3.
Well, I want another of these.
I'd keep a clear head if I were you.
But I need it, so if you don't mind.
Do you know the Airds well?
I know Ian. I've tried to keep away from his wife.
Odd lady, isn't she?
Oh, she's mad. Poisonous with it.
Plainly she didn't like your husband.
Few did, but she would make a career of it. She ought to have been locked up years ago.
Not as bad as that.
She destroyed a good man out of sheer willfulness.
Mr. Aird.
Mr. Aird.
Tell me, how did Mr. Aird regard your husband?
They weren't good friends.
Was that necessary between employer and employee?
Oh, it's more complicated than that. Max was brought up by Ian's parents. When they were boys, they were quite close. After school days, they went their different ways. I don't think Ian would have considered living here if he wasn't desperate for a job. In a way, his stay has been a kind of punishment. I'm rattling a bit, aren't I?
You're being very informative, Mrs. Loudon. Now, if you don't mind, I'll just take some formal particulars.
Is he going to eat all these?
Oh, you should have seen the meal the other one put away.
I'm not sure you should be doing this, Peg.
Stop worrying.
I'm not worried.
Cross your heart.
All right, I'm worried. Well, it was a bit of a shaker, wasn't it? Sandra turning up like that. Max asked her down here. Can you make sense of it?
I don't try. And how's Audrey taking it?
She's ebullient. Bags of joy.
Joy?
Euphoria of the... No, I mustn't say that. She hasn't shown the tiniest flicker of remorse.
But you're glum, aren't you? Ian?
I wish it would end.
I wish there was some minuscule amount of certainty in anything we do. I wish we could see the last of evasion and holding in. And I wish I could have one of your sandwiches.
Just one, then.
I'm going to have a rough time of it, Peg. So are you.
Oh, my back's strong.
Lucky you. I think I'm finally, once and for all, washed up. And it's my fault. I say, this is good. What's in it?
You maintain it?
Nah, they got mechanics for that.
Big acreage here, then?
Oh, near 2,000 with the other farms.
No shortage of work, I think.
Bags of overtime. You want sent. Oh, yeah, I better get on with it, then.
You sure you're all right?
Ah, never felt better, thanks.
Off you go, then.
Cheers.
Just a second.
Hey?
Stop your engine.
What's up now, then?
You move your backside. Go on, shift over. Oh. What's this?
Huh? It's my lunch bag.
And what's inside? Your lunch?
A pheasant.
Where'd you get it?
I found it.
Dropped out of the sky, did it?
Well, that too, I reckon.
Very droll. Now, where did you find it?
On the road, coming to work.
It's hardly cold. I think we ought to talk some more about it.
No, that's mine.
I'm not going to pinch it, Billy.
Well, you better not, that's all, or I...
Or what? Now, come on, cowboy, let's have you out of that saddle.
Oh, Mr. Whittaker, isn't it?
Mr. Eyre?
Yes, so please come in.
Oh, thank you.
May I take your coat?
Oh, thank you. What a dreadful business. I see the police are here in numbers. What's the chief man's name, by the way?
Inspector Betts.
Oh, yes, yes, I know Alan Betts.
Mrs. Loudon is here, too.
I'd better have a word with her, too.
She's still extremely upset. If you can postpone any bad news.
She's hardly affected. In fact, Mr. Aird, you're the one who ought to be looking for some sort of umbrella. Things are not too good.
This way, please.
Sorry, Herr Schumann. Only two for effort. So, Billy Dance goes through the third degree. Yon Bobby hath a fat neck. He's making dance by the look of it. What are they talking of? A dead fowl, of course. And Billy poached it, wanting feathers for his mother's hat. I wouldn't waste your breath, missy. You should be asking what my husband did with his second bestest outdoor coat after he... Oh, they're leaving. Bobby's got the bird. Oh, pretty fowl. No. Don't look up.
Damn, damn. He saw me. Damn.
This is the draft document Mr. Loudon asked me to prepare. It provides for the setting up of a trust for his daughter.
Yes. Yes, it's just as I said.
And, this was a waiver he wanted Mrs. Loudon to sign, repudiating any future claim on his estate.
Would he do this in the expectation of an early death?
No, it's just good tax avoidance policy. Oh.
Did Mr. Loudon carry any personal life insurance?
A considerable amount of it. And other policies maturing in about 10 years. Mr. Loudon was a very long-seeing man. If you'll forgive the observation, he chose about the worst moment he could to die.
Yes, but do we know that he chose it?
Excuse me for a moment, Mrs. Loudon. Mr. Whittaker, there is a will, I take it.
Oh, yes.
Can you give me an outline of it?
Well, briefly, it follows the intentions of the trust document. The bulk of the estate after duty to be incorporated in a trust for his little girl. Mrs. Loudon was named as one of the executors. But the key word's duty. After the government's taken its bite, the estate won't be more than a quarter of its present size. I'm anticipating, but that's my guess.
May I ask a question?
Yes, Mr. Eyre.
It concerns Max's insurance. Suicide would invalidate it, I suppose.
Absolutely. If you want a personal opinion, Max Loudon had as little reason as anyone I can think of for killing himself. It's incredible.
Because he was such a man of business?
Frankly, yes.
Business isn't the whole person, Mr. Whittaker. I think Max was screwed down tight, very cautious, always in control of himself. And he didn't loosen his grip, ever. Such men frequently blow apart without warning.
Maybe so, but you will allow me any astonishment, won't you? Any more questions for me, Inspector?
Yes, there's just one area we haven't touched on yet, and that's Mr. Loudon's health.
It was good, even exceptional.
Well, you sound very confident.
I know what I'm talking about. He had periodic checkups, and strenuous ones for the insurance companies. The last one was less than a month ago. He was A1. Good life risk.
Who was his doctor here?
The old chap in Ebbingham, Franklin. Look, Max never consulted him, except for a cold.
Yeah, I see. Well, I won't detain you any longer, Mr. Whittaker. I know you want to get back.
I'll see you out.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Eyre. Mrs. Loudon, if you require anything, I'm always at your disposal.
Thank you.
In any case, I shall be seeing you after the funeral.
Yes. Thank you for calling.
Inspector?
Goodbye for the present, Mr. Whittaker.
I hope you didn't think I spoke out of turn.
Of course not. You're entitled to a point of view. In a way, yours might be the best theory. He did it in a fit of madness. Sudden, crazy brainstorm. How else would we account for it?
Let me help you into your coat.
Oh, thank you.
You'll have to sell up, you think?
Nothing else for it. With land prices at their current level, it might be the best solution to sell the lot.
You could save a couple of the smaller farms.
That would depend on the executors.
Am I one?
No, Mr. Aird.
That's as I expected.
You can function for a few days as you are, can you?
As long as the bank agrees.
I'll speak to them. We ought to meet soon. Could you make it to Draxton Friday morning?
What time?
Early, 9:30.
I'll be there.
Good. See you then. Oh!
Excuse me, gentlemen. Oh, goodbye, Mr. Whittaker. What have you got there? A pheasant, sir. Yes, I can see that. Where did you get it?
Ah, that I can't tell you. Where will I find my inspector, sir?
He's in there.
Aye. Excuse me, won't you?
Oh, sorry, sir. Can I interrupt a moment?
What the hell's that?
Engines, sir.
Oh, yeah. Are we keeping you from anything, Mr. Aird?
Yes, the drawing room door. May I? How are you feeling now?
I want to leave.
Sure. This train's at 6. Why don't you have something to eat?
No.
Peggy can make you a sandwich.
Oh, I'm not hungry, Ian. That man's fishing for something.
He's paid to be suspicious. We haven't been much help to him.
I'm not used to being stripped in public. He kept asking me questions about Max's extramural love life. How am I supposed to know things like that? Did he have one, by the way?
Not that I know of.
Last night he was sentimental for him. I got the feeling he was nerving himself to ask me to go back to him.
Would you have?
Oh, I don't honestly know. No. It wouldn't have worked. The marriage was dead. It only needed a divorce to bury it. Oh, this is really going to upset Elizabeth. And he's been hurt enough already. I don't think I shall ever forgive him.
Let's have some tea.
I'll have to wash my face first.
Upstairs?
Oh, no, I'll use the cloakroom. Oh, could you...
Yes, sure. It's all right, they're gone.
Ian?
Yeah?
Max wasn't killed, was he? Murdered?
No, Sandra.
You seem very sure of that.
And you're exhausted. Let those policemen do the speculating. In about 10 minutes.
No, I don't get the significance.
Why was he so coy about it?
He doesn't like us.
What about that abdabbing through when you were questioning him, Skipper?
I'm a terrifying man, Tate.
Oh, give us a break,
Look,
sir.
Let's do it one step at a time, Sergeant. Deal with the routine inquiries first. That's the method. Then we can turn to the fancy bits.
This bird was shot with a small-bore rifle.
So what?
It's fresh, sir. Dance picked it up in the field where he was working. Now, whoever killed it may have seen Loudon when he was doing funny things with his own gun. Mm.
Dance was alone in that field and deaf with it.
He's a liar.
Well, how do you know, Tate? Does he have hair growing between his eyes?
I'd like your permission to follow it through, sir.
Well, here's the blower. It could be for me. Bet's here. Oh, hello, sir. Well, not much so far, sir. No, there's no note. No indication of an abnormal state of mind. Some marital difference. Marital, sir. Yeah. He was living apart from his wife. Are they? No. I've got nothing to say to them. Anything yet from the examiner, sir? Oh, I see. Well, I spoke with the man's lawyer. His affairs seem to be in order. Yeah, it looks like one of those temporary insanity things. Insanity, sir. Yeah, it is a rotten line. Well, we'll wrap it up for the day if you want. Yeah. Oh, yes, sir, as soon as we get back. Blimey, the old man wants to get his ears syringed. Well, we'll hang around till the new men come on watch and then we return to the nursery. That ant's still biting inside your britches, Tate.
It's worth following up, sir.
Now, look. The woods and fields round here are piled high with dead birds and mammals. It's October. Anything that flies or runs is a target. That pheasant could have flown in from Suffolk on one wing.
Yeah, with a bloody big hole through its heart.
All right, Tate. You can have another crack at him tomorrow.
But with respect, sir, that's too late.
That's enough. Look after the store.
Yes, Inspector, sir. You mug.
Mother Cuppy in?
What? Oh, no thanks.
You haven't changed, Peg. None of you have. And everything in the house looks the same. It's just like stepping back into an old photograph. Did you miss me?
What a funny question. You belonged here.
I thought I did. Max put me right on that. I shouldn't unburden myself in front of you, should I? The house will have to go, Peggy.
Don't think about it now.
Well, we've got no choice. I'll make sure none of you suffers.
Drink your tea, go on.
Don't bully me.
I will when you need it. Where have those snoops got to?
They're still lurking around.
One of them wants to marry me.
Oh, this is a good offer.
Not bad, but his wife won't let him.
Does anyone have the right time?
It's 4:30.
Oh. There's a train at 5, isn't there?
10 past, but it's a slow one.
Oh, I'd like to catch it. Would you mind driving me in?
Of course not. I'll bring the car round to the front door.
Thanks.
Is Elizabeth well?
Oh, marvellous. She's got more arms and legs than she knows what to do with.
She's
going to be a beauty, God help her.
Oh, she's that already.
Well, I won't tell her so. You know she writes to me?
Yes. It was a way of keeping in touch with Max.
Oh, hell, what a mess. Oh. Oh, it ought to have been good, Peg. Why wasn't it?
You're the expert.
It wasn't all bad, you know. With all the rot set in, he could be fun.
A heavy-footed sort of way. And kind.
He wanted a large family, and after Elizabeth was born, we knew that wasn't possible. Didn't show his disappointment. Though I could sense it. No dynasty for Max. It wasn't like that, Peg. He wanted children for their own sake.
And little Loudons to the end of time.
Peg, don't be unkind. It's not the right time.
Well, I still marvel that you ever took him on.
My parents were dead against it. So, well, you know me, I was always a bit headstrong.
Just a bit. Oh, you were too much alike to succeed together.
No. Max had an impressive surface. Below it, he was a mass of doubts and fears. That's what made him so obstinate. Pure bluster, Peg. And now, unbelievably, he's... As soon as I get into that train, I'm going to have an enormous howl.
Who for, Sandra?
For him. And for me, too.
Well, don't frighten the driver.
You're not lucky with your men either, are you, Peg?
Men? What are they?
I'm not stupid. I see and hear things.
Oh.
I've noticed the way Ian looks at you.
Have you?
Are you happy?
At odd moments. Not all the time. Not for long.
Does Audrey know?
She's never admitted it if she did. I'm one of the untouchables. Oh, don't look so solemn. I don't care.
You deserve a lot more.
I've said so myself these many years.
Oh, I have to go. No, will you see me to the car?
Have you seen Audrey?
No,
and I won't. I've been enough punishment for one day.
Mr. Aird! Just a minute!
Leaving us?
I'm taking Mrs. Loudon to the train. Is that permitted?
I'd prefer you to tell me first.
Well, I'm telling you now.
Now, don't make waves for me, Mr. Aird. I'm an old hand at the surfboarding. Ah, my compliments, Mrs. Loudon. I'll be in touch soon.
Excuse me.
I'll have you, you arrogant.
London train! London train!
Got something to read?
No, it doesn't matter.
Do you want someone to meet you in London?
I'll take a taxi. This has shattered you, hasn't it?
Oh, my feelings don't matter.
Have you any idea what you might do?
None at the moment. The estate will take some time to be wound up. Then I'll have to look lively. Would you like some advice?
What is it?
What I'm going to say isn't special pleading. It's plain good sense, and it's this. Hold on to as much of the land as you can.
It's not my decision, Ian.
Oh, yes, it is. You're an executor. Max had an almost mystical attitude to land, and he was right. It doesn't depreciate, and it won't go away. Hold on. It's the best security Elizabeth could have. That's all, but I wanted to get in first with it.
Much good all his property did him.
Maybe. But he worked for it from the beginning. I think you're too sensible to throw an asset away.
Would you manage an estate for me?
No.
Well, why not? Ian?
Two reasons. First is that I'm not the best man you can get. And the second is I want a change. But thanks for the suggestion.
Oh.
Call me if you want anything.
I will.
Give my love to Beth, won't you? Sandra, I'm truly sorry.
What did he do then? Oh, again? I've told him a dozen times. Well, next time it's a smack bottom and straight up to bed. No, don't bother. Could be hanging around here for ages, yeah? Well, 8 at the latest. Oh, look, listen, Pet, I've got to ring off.
Oh. There's nothing around here.
No, there's nothing from the examiner either yet. Shall I jog that elbow?
No, if they'd had anything, we would have heard.
So what have we got, sir?
We've got an old, old story. Not a crack in it anywhere.
Why?
Why did he do it?
Hmm.
Oh, search me. Brainstorm, sudden impulse. He had the gun in his hand. Decided he didn't like himself very much. Nobody else seems to have done either. And there's the exit, staring straight at him.
He liked money, didn't he?
Yeah, but he may have got bored with making it. I'll tell you a little tale.
Huh?
Well, you know I was in the Mets.
I had heard, yeah.
Well, I finished my training at the station house up at Acton. There was another recruit training alongside me. He was fit, intelligent, good family background, engaged to be married to a jolly nice young lady, and he was very good at the work. Well, one morning I went into the station house bog, and I found him, hanging by his belt from a waste pipe, dead as Pharaoh. Why? No reason at all. I think we've got another one of those here.
Did Deputy Sergeant say? Oh, yeah, I've got it, yeah. Cheers. The night shift's on its way from Draxton.
Oh, right. We'll get out there.
Skipper?
Yeah?
Will you give me a crack at dance? I mean, tonight, before his imagination starts working. I'll make up the time.
There's paperwork.
Yeah, I know that, sir, but I'll work late to catch up.
You won't let go, will you?
Just give me head for one, Skip.
On a platter, yeah.
So it's settled, sir?
Help yourself.
Oh, it's you. Did you get off all right?
No problems. Are the bloodhounds still off the leash?
Haven't seen them. You don't like them, do you?
Not much. Show them a little deference and they take over. They haven't quite made up their minds how to treat me. Am I one of the family or simply a superior servant?
And what have you got against servants?
Oh, Peg, I'm sorry. I never think of you like that.
Doesn't matter. And it's what I am.
Not me. Shall I dry those?
No. Let them drain.
May I see you tonight?
I'd rather you didn't.
I really need to.
It's not a good idea. Not for the moment.
You like me a little.
More than that. And what about you? Is it me or just comforting you want?
Aren't they the same?
Oh. Excuse me. We are wrapping it up for the time being, Mr. Aird.
Yes?
I'm leaving 2 constables on watch.
Very well.
I'll see you in the morning. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Mrs. Palmer.
Good night.
What's so funny?
You caught kissing the cook general.
Well, it could have been worse.
Go home, Ian.
What's wrong?
Everything. I don't know. Oh, God, I don't want the trouble of you right now. Oh, and don't look so sad.
That's how I am.
Tomorrow I may feel differently. I must be allowed my moods. You haven't been near Audrey all day, have you?
I've forgotten her.
Go home.
I like you a whole lot.
That's almost enough. Please?
You never said that to me before.
That should tell you something, shouldn't it?
I'm off.
See you tomorrow.
Evening, Billy.
You got a moment?
I'm busy.
Well, I pretend I'm not here.
That ain't difficult.
I can lean against your bench, can't I? Nice bike.
That will be.
Hi, Revin, eh?
What do you want?
Oh, just chewing the fat, Billy. You know, you've got a definite mechanical bent. I'm surprised you didn't go in for engineering.
Don't pay, do it.
Money ain't everything.
You try and get by without it.
Where's the gun, Billy? You hear me?
I can hear you.
What are you looking for?
A small wrench.
Oh, here.
No. It's a universal.
Use that.
Won't fit.
Try, Billy. Suffer from nausea?
Every now and again. Doesn't everybody?
You nearly decorated Mr. Aird's carpet this morning.
That was diesel fumes.
What, indoors?
I'm riding that tractor hour after hour with grease gets on the block fumer. Puts me off my food sometimes.
Ah, you're delicate. Or scared.
Pull the other one. Can I take a spanner now?
I wouldn't stop you. Oh, go on. Nervous?
Oh.
Nervous and delicate. Let's talk about guns.
You can, if you like.
You got a firearm certificate, Billy?
Don't need one, do I?
Every weapon, smoothbore or rifle, has to be registered with the police,
but
Billy.
I'll remember that when I get one.
Try as we might, there's always unlicensed guns lying about. You'd be surprised, Billy. Once, you know, I helped unload a case of submachine guns at Harwich Docks. Do you know, they didn't belong to anybody. No addressee, no bill of lading, no. What's wrong, Billy?
You're standing in my light.
Oh, I'm sorry, old chap. And where's the gun?
I told you, I ain't got no gun.
Then what's that? Now, that's a clip loader, isn't it? Now, don't you treat me like a mug and I'll drop on you, boy, like the sky falling in. Now, I can get a warrant and a team in here to go through your possessions piece by piece, or you can act sensible and start telling me the truth. Now, where's the gun?
To the farm.
Pardon? Pardon?
I left it at the farm.
Where at the farm?
Old rest hut behind some sacks.
Now, you used this gun this morning. I'm not asking you, I'm telling you. What time was that?
After me break.
And when's that?
Well, break's at 10, so we're a bit after.
Right. So you saw this pheasant start up, right?
Right.
Did you get out of your cab to aim at it?
Well, I got to, haven't I?
Right. How far were you from the wood then?
A long way. At the other end of the field.
Didn't you see Mr. Loudon at all?
No, I didn't.
Well, he was in those woods.
Well, so what? Oh, those trees are thick. Can't see through them. I would have said, wouldn't I?
We could have avoided all this, Argy Bargy.
Do I lose me gun?
Oh, damn right. You got a license for an automatic rifled weapon? No, I thought not. I'll pick it up in the morning. It's a nice bike, Billy. Mind you don't kill yourself on it.
Why, hello, darling. Was it an amusing afternoon for you?
I should have called you. I'm sorry.
What? I don't accept that. Where were you?
Up to my neck in policemen.
And your cousin's pretty wife. To make no mention of that whore you keep in the kitchen.
Calm down.
Why should I?
How did you know Sandra was here?
Because I saw her. And I listened through the dividing doors to the sentimental pack you fed her. Miserable, sly, fornicating wet.
I don't want to listen to you.
I'll make you listen.
Feel better? Smash it all, Audrey. It'll save the bother of taking it all with us.
Selfish, odious pig.
That is the way to a stroke, Audrey.
Well, you won't have the pleasure of burying me. You have years of torment still ahead of you. I've talked talking to you.
No, Audrey, you are raging at your own stupid fixations. Don't include me.
Oh, don't turn it round. You're to blame here.
Listen to me. I have had policemen. Sandra to ferry back and forth from Draxton. Max's prosy little solicitor giving his pronouncement of doom, and that is enough. Yes, I should have called you. But it got overlooked, and I apologized. If you don't mind, I won't join you in this game. I've lost the taste for quarrels. Yes, it is. And it's the only one you know how to play. Where's the whiskey?
The cat drank it.
Then I can have some of your gin instead, can't I?
No.
It's your cat. So that makes us quits.
Tell me, Ian. Which gives you the keener pleasure? The adultery or the guilt that follows it?
Balance. I'd say it was sex.
Oh, Palmer refused to her tacky bed, didn't she?
Comparisons are hateful, but I'll make one anyway. She's better at it than you, even in your prime.
She has the kitchen stink you relish, that's all. Mr. Aird takes his feudal pleasure with the servant class.
Float away, Audrey.
Poor Ian. He can't go outright to his satisfaction. He surrounds it in sweet glue and smothers it. Now you can discount Sandra. Glamour girl is flint hard when her own welfare's at risk. You're out, aren't you?
It's what I want. Excuse me.
No, talk to me.
Out of the way, Audrey, or I swear I'll hit you.
Oh, I wish you would. It would show you felt something for me.
Oh, God.
Well, strike.
And I said I wouldn't play. You want a drink?
No. Yes.
Help yourself. I can't keep up.
Oh, Palmer can have you. There's not enough of you left to make a whole man.
Oh, can't we please be quiet? Please, just a little pause, Audrey. Time to get my breath.
You should have called.
Yes.
I'm always excluded.
What do you expect?
Justice.
And what the hell is that? I watched the inspector's face after you talked to him. I knew you'd put on one of your special fey turns. He was appalled.
You don't have to apologize for me. Everybody knows I'm insane.
It's dark in here.
Leave them.
It is dark.
I like dark. It's a peculiarity of mine. Like wanting a faithful husband.
We've had a very scarce commodity.
With Palmer, too. I can't forgive that.
Don't fret. She doesn't want me either.
Your cup is filled to the brim, isn't it?
Maybe. But I'll empty it yet.
What did you tell the police?
Everything.
You sure?
Everything they need to know.
To make a suicide convincing, you mean?
Well, why not? If that's the truth.
I don't believe for a second it's the truth.
Oh, that is your misfortune. Max killed himself.
You'll be the one to know, Ian.
What dark, sinuous little trail are you following now?
I sit in the window. I watch, even when there's nothing to view.
And you invent. I know, Audrey, I've been the butt of your inventive powers for 12 years. We owe our present mess to them.
Where's your outdoor coat? Well?
In one of the barns.
Or behind it? Did it burn quickly?
My glass is empty.
It's all right, Ian. You can tell me. I was watching when you walked up the drive from the wood this morning. You carried your coat over your arm, folded. And your hands were smeared with what looked like red paint. It wasn't. Your face was quite white. You looked sick. Then you disappeared behind the outbuildings, and you were gone there for about 15 minutes. At around 11 o'clock, I heard you moving about the office, and I guess you were calling the police. Shall I tell them about the missing quarter of an hour?
Tell them anything you like.
I found what was left of your coat. Just a pile of ash and the metal buttons that wouldn't burn.
You have had a busy day.
I think it started with a quarrel. Max was probably his usual overbearing self, pushing a little too hard on his cousin and pensioner. Or isn't that so, Ian?
No, that isn't so.
Tell me, darling.
I have nothing to tell.
Are you hungry?
I couldn't eat.
Oh, you should, Ian. You're going to need all your strength.
For what?
To fend me off. Me and the police. Make a military appreciation of that one, Major Aird.
Yeah. Oh, hello, Doc. What have you got? What? Whereabouts on the neck? Well, is that consistent with a fall? I see. Well, can you explain it? No, not me. No, well, it haven't been back to me. Now, you definitely saw it. Well, we're talking to ourselves up here. Yeah. Hello? Yeah, I'm grateful for the information.
Oh, sorry, sir.
It's all right. Well, we might be able to fit it in somewhere. Yeah. Yeah, thanks again.
Sweet, you skipper.
And me first, if you don't mind. Come in. Well, sit down, sir. Well, the examiner just called. Loudon had a graze on the back of his neck, like being nicked with a bullet. And the wound was inflicted about half an hour before he died. Now, that's interesting, wouldn't you say?
And Dan owns a tutu, sir.
Are you sure?
It's stashed away in an old hut on the farm.
Did you see it?
Well, no, Skip. I was going to wait till morning.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, Tate.
Well, do you want me to go out there now, sir?
No, hold on. The Dance used his gun this morning.
Yeah, just after 10, he thinks.
And around that time, Loudon... Oh, no, 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 no. We're tying ourselves up. When I spoke to Dance this afternoon, he didn't know his governor was dead. Now, what did I say to him just before he went all pale on me? Did I say, Loudon's had an accident? Killed himself? How did I phrase it, Tate?
I wasn't there, sir.
Well, I might have said he died from gunshot. Yeah, well, I think I did. So... Dance thinks he winged Loudon, and then lo and behold, he didn't. Because Loudon died in an entirely different manner. By his own shotgun. Oh, too many guns, Tate.
Dance was bloody defensive, wasn't he?
Well, wouldn't you be? Well, that boy didn't see Loudon die. I bet salary on that. Perhaps Loudon didn't realise he'd been nicked. Maybe he thought a snapping branch did it. Well, it might have, for all we know. Oh, God, I'm going round in circles. I'll have to sleep on it.
Possibilities, Skip?
Hmm?
About Dance's tutu, sir?
Well, pass the word to the Draxton force. Let them pick it up for you. And if you get a good idea, don't keep it to yourself, eh?
Because you'll listen, won't you, sir?
Yeah, too right, I will. Remember, Tate, we don't administer justice. We uphold the law. Well, would you like to borrow my hanky?
No, sir, since you've only got the one.
You know, Aird interests me.
Why, what's he done now?
No. His attitude, his whole bearing. You know, the people round here seem to trust him. Well, they don't respect or admire him exactly, but they do depend on him. He reminds me of...
Yes, sir?
Well, he reminds me of a sort of hero in a boy's comic. You know, we're joking as the fiendish natives tie him to the firing post. Well, he's got nothing to joke about, has he, really? He'd be out on his ear, you know.
Top of this time of life.
Yeah. Well, he should have joined the police, eh?
Yeah, boy, that's it, Skip. I'll away, eh?
You're forgetting something, aren't you?
Eh?
I hope you took plentiful notes, Tate.
Oh, yeah.
Good try. Well, I get weaving.
headache. No, no, please don't put the light on.
I'm not surprised. Do you know how much gin you've guzzled?
What time is it?
Bedtime.
Oh. Do you want this room?
As where we usually sleep. Of course I want
it. I'll go next door.
Why?
I'm bad company for you.
I want to talk.
In the morning.
Now. While I remember.
What is it now, Audrey?
I want to know what's to become of us.
Wait and see. More fun that way.
Oh, I've had all the unpleasant surprises for one lifetime. Well, have you any notion what you'll do? Remember, you have no more rich relations to batten on. And your army pension won't keep the two of us.
Yes. You've thought of that neatly enough.
I won't live in a town.
You might have to.
My nerves wouldn't stand town life.
Your nerves, as you call them, can stand anything you want them to stand. Or not, according to your whim.
That's cruelly untrue. I'm ill.
Then take a cure.
My cure is a serene environment.
And in having your own way in everything.
Dr. Rosen said I was to live without stress.
Rosen? You wave that charlatan like a flag, Audrey. I never spoke to the man. All I've ever heard of him comes from you. I'm not sure he even exists.
I was in analysis for 2 years. I had a breakdown, a severe breakdown. Occasioned by your indifference and cruelty. Who separated me from my children?
You signed them over. We have been through all this interminably.
I am unwell. Dr. Ladislav Rosen is a highly competent nerve specialist. And you separated me from my children. And refused me a child of yours. Facts, Jeffrey.
Jeffrey was your late husband. I'm the later model. Or victim. I'm called Ian.
You're too passive. Well, can you wonder others shove you aside? You won't push.
You knew that from the start.
Oh, no. I thought there was strength under that carefully cultivated modesty. But you were modest all the way through. I told you the report Geoffrey made on you when he was adjutant.
Only about 100 times.
This officer lacks decisiveness and is not to be recommended for higher command.
I coveted his wife. That report was pure malice.
And it dissed you, didn't it?
It was untrue. I was decisive enough when the need arose. I've stuck with you for 10 years of a living hell. No man can do more than that.
Max sized you up to the gram. Golly, got you, Chief.
I didn't care.
You didn't. But what about me? Imagine the anguish I've had pigging it in this sty with insufficient money tied to a melancholy lecher. You don't have the guts to be unfaithful in style either. It's cookmaids for you, a sly grope at cleaning women.
I'm a bad bargain.
Not even that.
I'm weak, indecisive, sad in bed and out of it. And yet you stick. Don't you? If this situation so sickened you, why didn't you have the pluck to leave it? You were too ill to be a wife, but you could always find the strength to stick a knife into me. You want me to be resolute, Audrey? You really want that? I warn you, you will be alone for a long, long time.
That's just the gin talking.
There!
There. What are you going to do?
I'm going to give you your freedom.
You killed him, didn't you? Oh, yes, you did.
How could I? I don't have the guts.
Well, who are you ringing?
Police headquarters. As I see it, whichever way I do this, Audrey, I'm on what the racing men call a hiding to nothing. But at this moment, I believe the law will be more merciful than you. Hello. I wonder if you could help me. You have a Detective Inspector Betts there, do you not? May I speak to him? Yes, yes, I'll hold on. Piece of luck. He's still there.
Sheer bravado, Major.
Watch.
Inspector Betts. Ian Aird. Yes. I'm sorry to disturb you. I wonder, could you visit me here tonight? Oh, yes. Yes, I appreciate that. I haven't been very forthright, I'm afraid. I didn't give you a full account this morning. No, it has to be here. I'll expect you in half an hour, then. Goodbye.
I hope you know what you're doing.
Will you make some coffee for us?
Get it yourself.
Be gracious, darling. You're not going to have me for long.
Conceited fool.
You sure you don't want me to take this down?
I'm sure.
My sergeant's a good shorthand writer.
I want to tell you, and in my own words. Then you can draft what I say in any form that suits you.
Okay. You can begin when you like, Mr. Ed.
Right. Everything I told you up to the point where I found my cousin in the plantation was the truth. I tinkered with the timing a little. You'll soon find out the reason for that. I entered the wood shortly after 10:30 to find Max and tell him about the phone call from the bank. I found him almost at once. And I heard him before I saw him.
You heard him moving around?
No, Inspector. I heard him screaming.
Go on.
He was rolling on the ground, whimpering with pain, with his hands over his face. And blood was running through his fingers. I knelt down and tried to turn him towards me. I managed to unclasp his hands. He lost an eye. And there was a small hole high on his forehead, about here. I knew at once he'd been shot, probably by accident, from his own gun. I turned away, meaning to run to the house. He called me back. He was cursing and screaming, and he begged me to finish it. He was raving. He didn't know what he was saying. Then he taunted me, as he used to when we were boys. Called me a coward. And I grew angry, and I thought, what the hell he's done for, anyway? I made him comfortable, told him to relax. Then I put his gun to his head and fired it.
Good God.
Well, he wanted it. With a head wound like that, he wouldn't have lasted a day.
You sound pretty damn sure of that.
I have been in action, Inspector. I've seen many head wounds.
This is Norfolk, Mr. Aird, not the Khyber Pass.
Do you want to hear the rest?
Well, first I have to caution you.
Can't we waive that? I won't recant a word.
Yes, yes, go on.
There was a huge amount of blood, and my coat caught most of it. I took off the coat, carried it to the rear of the barn. My wife saw me, incidentally. And I burned it, using a can of petrol. Then I walked to this office and telephoned the police.
Why have you decided to tell me now?
Different reasons. Some of them personal. At the time, I didn't see the implications of what I'd done. I just saw it as necessary. An act of humanity, if you like.
The humane thing to do, Mr. Aird, was to call an ambulance. Have any idea of the problems you've caused?
I have now. Not then. With Max's suicide, his family would lose all the insurance he set aside. I suppose that influenced me as much as anything.
You realize you've just confessed to an unlawful killing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, very well. Excuse me. In here, Tate.
Sir.
What's your full name, Mr. Aird?
Ian Henderson Aird.
Give me that tape.
Yes, sir.
Do you recognize this gun?
No. I've never seen it before.
No, it belongs to Bill Dance. And after what you've just told me, I'm sure it was the weapon that was used to injure your cousin.
I don't follow.
You say you found Mr. Loudon dying from gunshot wounds.
Yes, yes, I did.
Well, independent medical evidence does corroborate your story. In part. But of course, we can't confirm it. The shotgun blast in the head ruined any chance of that.
Well, I assumed he'd done it himself by accident.
Well, a neat hole drilled in his forehead. Do you realise that the odds are better than even that Dance started the whole grisly process? He shot off a full magazine in your field this morning. It was after pheasants. Now I reckon three shots struck your cousin. One of them grazed his neck. The other two hit him in the head.
Dance?
Well, yes, he didn't do it on purpose. He's a cowboy. He does things like that. Spraying a game bird with automatic fire. You know, in a way, you're lucky. Without this, you'd be on a murder charge. Will you stand up, please? Ian Henderson, Ed. I arrest you for the unlawful killing of James Maxwell Loudon. Anything you say here and after will be taken down and may be used in evidence. Do you have anything to say?
Nope.
Do you wish to speak to your wife before we go?
Not a word more. But, could you tell Mrs. Palmer what's happened? She could sit with my wife.
Attend to that tape, will you?
Yeah, right, sir.
We'll wait here.
Off the record, can you tell me what'll happen to me?
No, I can't. And that's on the record. You'll certainly go to prison. For how long depends on the mood of the judge.
I'm merely exchanging one prison for another. You know, anything of value I might have achieved.
Yeah?
I'm so sorry, I was about to be boring.
Don't you feel anything?
More than you'll ever know.
A little girl loses her father.
Why regret that? God knows I do.
He might have survived Darcy's wounds.
As a vegetable, perhaps. That is not good enough for a Loudon.
Or for an Aird.
I'm not proud in that sort of way.
Oh, no. You followed the code.
That is romantic trash, Inspector.
Did you feel sorry for him?
Yeah.
Your attitude surprises me, Mr. Aird. A man with all your advantages.
Now, they don't count for much, you know. There's one quality more precious than all the rest. And the bad fairies withheld that one.
Let me guess what it is, eh? It's humility.
No, Inspector. Good timing.
In A Full Account by John Kirkmorris, the cast was Ian Aird, Geoffrey Wickham, Audrey Aird, Sheila Grant, and Inspector Betts, John Hollis. Sergeant Tate, Henry Knowles, Sandra Larden, Jenny Lee, Billy Dance, Sean Probert, Whittaker, Cyril Shapps, and Peggy Palmer, Diana Bishop. The play was directed by Jerry Jones.